The Connection on the way next, brought to you by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move by First Baptist Church and by Tallgrass Motors. Joe Todd's in to tell us some veteran stories in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
And spend a little bit of time this morning with local historian and a man who is known for his veteran interviews, Joe Todd. Joe, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you.
And you and I have booked a series of dates throughout this calendar year, just kind of trying to find dates on or real close to the anniversaries of some of the significant battles of World War II.
Yes.
And we've got one, well, I think it's pretty significant battle this morning to talk about, Kasserine Pass, right?
Battle of Kasserine Pass.
And for those that maybe are not familiar with World War II history, there's a lot of it, and it's easy to miss a battle here or there. This one, after a pretty easy victory, the U.S. Army, I think, got surprised.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the Army landed in North Africa.
Uh-huh.
And the first people they met were the Vichy French,
yeah,
fighting for the Germans. And they just melted away. And most of the Vichy gave up and switched sides.
Yeah.
And the Americans thought, hey, we can beat anyone. So it gave the Americans a false sense of security,
mm-hmm,
because they had never met the Germans.
Yet. The stories were there, but based on their one experience, like you said, it was good to have that confidence under their belt, I think, but false sense of security. It'll get you every time.
Yes.
You talked to several soldiers that were there.
Yes.
And I'm just going to kind of let you lead in here, and I'll kibitz as necessary. But
okay.
I think it's interesting that over the course of your interviews, so many either veterans have come forward or friends, family members, neighbors, acquaintances of these individuals have pointed you to these people to talk to. You've got,
yes,
some great story to tell.
Yes. Well, people call me and say, you can interview my father or my brother, my husband, whatever, my grandfather. And that's how most of these interviews come about.
Well, I think you get the details of so many of these battles that were never published in history books because, by the time you and I got to World War II in U.S. history, it was probably late April, early May, and we were just getting ready to shut down the school year.
Yes. We don't like to talk about where we got beat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Much rather talk about those good winning battles. But
yes.
Kasserine Pass, first of all, the geography limited us somewhat, right?
Yes, it's a 2-mile gap in the Atlas Mountains in western Tunisia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Germans had built an airfield at Thalepti,
okay,
at Kasserine Pass. Very nice airfield.
Yeah. So they were able to bring supplies in on a regular basis.
Yes.
Which veteran do you have up for us first on?
Well, I interviewed Dr. Moore. Now, he lived in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And he was the flight surgeon for the 81st Fighter Group. They,
okay,
had the P-39s.
Yeah.
And he said, I was not a combat soldier. I was a doctor. And they said they flew the P-39s, and they had they moved the Germans out of Thalepti. They're able to move them out, and they brought the P-39s into the airfield there.
P-39, a relatively fast aircraft, very maneuverable, so
yes,
they had some good machinery to fight,
yes,
with. Yes, yeah.
But the problem was they were low on fuel.
Yeah.
They had the pilots, they had the airplanes, but no fuel when the Germans hit.
And if no fuel, basically, whatever vehicle you're talking about, it's next thing to useless.
Yes, and Dr. Moore said, not being a combat soldier, but I was out there helping the soldiers burn the P-39s. We're setting all our supplies on fire, and we got on trucks and got the hell out of there. So he said we lost all of our P-39s so the Germans wouldn't capture them.
Yeah.
We were totally caught by surprise.
Did they give you any insight into German tactics at that time? Were, you know, what kind of a story did they tell of what they saw?
All they know is he said we had our Sherman tanks, and the Shermans came up against the panzers, and it was not a battle.
No.
The Panzers were larger. They said, we'd fire our Sherman tanks, and the bullet would bounce off those Panzers.
Yeah.
And the Panzers could fire further than we could. The only advantage we had, our Shermans were smaller and more maneuverable.
Mm-hmm.
But our Shermans could not destroy the Panzers.
And didn't I get it right that compared to the Panzer, I'm not saying it was not well armored, but compared to the Panzer, it was easier to pierce the armor of the Sherman?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Also, the Panzers had diesel engines. We had gasoline engines. That hit our Sherman, it would explode.
Yeah.
Where the diesel wouldn't. And we did have a couple guys that became very, very quickly they learned to bounce a shell off the ground up into the bottom of the Panzer with no armor, mm-hmm. and that's the only way they could destroy the Panzer.
So it battle tactics were learned on the job, so to
on
speak.
On the job.
Yeah.
Now, the main problem was these Americans were green, had never been in combat except with the Vichy French, and had no experience.
And I think anybody, not a care from George Washington on, would say there's no substitute for experience.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Now, Ray Holman was in Bartlesville,
okay.
1st Infantry Division, and he was at Kasserine Pass. And he said, our infantry didn't really get to the Germans because the Panzers came first. And he said, it was just a mad flight. We got on the trucks and got the hell out of there.
Yeah. And that's really probably the big thing that the Battle of Kasserine was known for.
Yes.
It was, I won't say we got routed, but we got the heck out of town real quick.
Yes, yeah. Yes. The other one was a Mr. Sylvester, and he was with the 927 Signal Battalion. And his job was to lay communication wire.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with all their supplies. They were in half tracks, and they were laying supply lines and everything when the Germans hit. And he said, all we did, we just threw our signal equipment out of the trucks, got on the trucks, and got out. The Germans captured all their signal equipment, captured a lot of the trucks and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah. And now a lot of it was radio equipment, field phones.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And so in one sense, all equipment can be replaced, but on the other hand, you needed that stuff right then.
Yes.
And there was, you know, you're giving up some valuable resources.
Yes. So at the Battle of Kasserine Pass, we lost all of our airplanes, our signal equipment. We lost all of our trucks. We lost many tanks. And we had over 1,000 killed. We don't know how many taken prisoner and 3,000 missing after the battle.
Wow. For our first major engagement, that stings.
Yes. Then another interview I did was Heinrich Rothauge.
Okay.
He was a German soldier.
I got that from the name.
Yes. And he was captured in North Africa and sent to Camp Gruber, Oklahoma.
That's we did a lot of that. We brought the POWs well inland, so that they in one sense, first of all, I think would be secure, but also would be less of a threat to our industrial complex.
Yes, and he was at the Battle of Kasserine Pass, and he said they knew about the American tactics. They didn't have an artillery barrage before they attacked. And he said they were on the hills around Kasserine Pass waiting. And when the Americans came in, he said, we hit with our Panzers first.
Now, who were our commanding generals at that time?
We had Major General Lloyd Fredendall was commander at Kasserine Pass.
Okay.
And the Germans were led by Field Marshal Erwin Rommel.
Yeah.
And General Patton said Rommel was the best general of World War II.
He was.
And he was never a Nazi.
No.
He hated Hitler and never joined the Nazi Party.
He was a professional soldier.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And I think those that like General Patton, they know he was a student of history, student of tactics, and again, another professional soldier.
Yes. Yeah. After Kasserine Pass, they said we had to reorganize and said we can't meet the Germans like this. Because we got our butt stomped at Kasserine Pass.
Yeah. Did you get through? And I want to get to Heinrich here in just a moment. But as far as the soldiers you talked to, did they pass along any lessons learned as far as how we changed what we did after Kasserine?
Yes. First of all, get rid of that false sense of security.
Yeah.
You know, the Germans are not like the Vichy French.
No.
Yeah. And as I said, this is the first time the Americans and the Germans met.
Okay. Well, I know you've got some good stories because you told me before we went on the air about some of the things that Heinrich told you.
So
I want to get to those in just
a second. He was in the Africa Corps.
Yeah.
And Rommel couldn't take advantage of Kasserine Pass because we were sinking all the German supply ships.
Mm-hmm.
So Rommel was not getting supplies.
Yeah.
And he was captured at Bizerte in Tunisia. And he couldn't believe they were being taken prisoner. And I've interviewed people that helped take him prisoner. And they couldn't believe we had captured the Germans.
Wow.
Because they literally ran out of supplies.
Yeah.
Because we had sunk all the ships.
Okay. Yeah. When your supplies go, you're no more bullets, no more rounds for the for the artillery, and no more rounds for the tanks. So
that's right.
How many stories have we heard of as far as tank battles being lost due to lack of gasoline?
Yes. And he was put on a ship, sent to New York, and sent to Camp Gruber, Oklahoma.
Okay, we're going to hear his story here in just a moment. We'll take a break and continue our time with Joe Todd in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And continuing our time this morning with Joe Todd, and we're talking specifically remembering the battle at Kasserine Pass. And Joe, you kind of started to draw the picture on Heinrich, a German POW that ended up at Camp Gruber for, I guess, the remainder of the war.
Yes. He was from Rendsburg, Germany. He was drafted 1938 in the infantry. And he said after his basic training, his first time in combat was invasion of Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was on the invasion of Poland, and he said we invaded Poland because the Poles were killing German citizens in Poland. So that's why we invaded Poland.
Okay.
And also, the Soviets invaded Poland from the east.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that because Russia was our ally at the time.
Right. There are, traditional allies, and then there are allies of convenience. And
yes.
I mean, I'll let the listener draw their own conclusion.
Yes. Then he was sent to Belgium.
Yeah.
And then he was transferred to the Africa Corps, sent to North Africa. And he said the first time he was in combat was Kasserine Pass.
Okay.
And he said they're waiting for the Americans, and they had the infantry behind their tanks. They just walked behind the tanks, and he said it wasn't a battle.
No.
He said our German tanks destroyed the American tanks, and the Americans just left.
But because his infantry was losing supplies,
yes,
then I assume that was the reason he was captured.
Yes, he was captured because the British and the Americans were sinking all the German supply ships in the Mediterranean. So Rommel was not getting supplies.
And
said we literally ran out of everything.
Yeah. Had he been well supplied, Battle of Africa, at the very least, would have gone on probably for another year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And he was captured, sent to Camp Gruber, Oklahoma. And he said he enjoyed being out of the war. And because he said war is hell, he said, I didn't join the army, I was drafted.
Okay.
And before that, he said he was in the Hitler Youth. And he said his parents voted for Hitler because Hitler said, if you follow me, I'll give you jobs and feed your family. And my mother said Hitler had been in World War I. He knows what war is. He won't take us to war again. But little did they know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were sent to work on the cotton farms around Camp Gruber and Muskogee.
Okay.
And he said for the first couple of weeks, they sent an armed guard with them. And after a couple of weeks, they said, they're not going to go anywhere. And he said after a couple of months, we'd have breakfast, we'd get in the truck, and we'd drive to the cotton farm, work, and drive back to the prison camp.
Wow.
There was virtually no security of any kind.
And I, as I kind of envision the cotton fields around there, First of all, the vegetation was relatively low. It was easy that one person could keep an eye on a number of prisoners.
Yes.
And it was flat enough, there really wasn't any place good to hide.
Yes. And the farmer and his wife had to go somewhere, and Heinrich said they brought their six-year-old daughter out and asked if we'd babysit their daughter while they went away.
Wow.
So here were German POWs babysitting the six-year-old daughter.
Different time, different place, and certainly nothing that I think any of us would have expected.
Yes, yes.
Did you talk to him when he came back?
He came back in 1987 for a reunion.
Okay.
About 24 Germans that had been POWs at Camp Gruber came back for a reunion, and I interviewed 12 of those of that group.
I, as a youngster, went to quite a few of my dad's Army reunions. It was nearly an annual event, but all of dads, of course, were here somewhere in the U.S. Mm-hmm. How did they set one up, you know, of German POWs at Camp Gruber? Did he?
Kurt Trummer was in charge of the group. He had been at Camp Gruber, and he contacted the American Embassy in Berlin.
Okay.
In Bonn, and made that contact, and then the ambassador made the contact, and that's how they contacted the military, and then Oklahoma and the governor, and that's how they set it up.
Wow. So quite a international logistics.
Yes.
A lot more than
yes.
just the POWs, somebody getting the idea of let's get together.
Yes. And at the reunion in Muskogee, that six-year-old girl was there.
Wow.
She was a grown woman now. And
sure.
So she met the Germans again.
That, you know, World War friendships. You never know what you're going to
yes.
find.
And several of the women in that area actually married the German soldiers.
Okay. So those are the results of your interviews specifically connected with this battle.
Yes, yes.
I know you and I are going to talk over the course of the calendar year. We've got dates. Obviously, we couldn't hit every anniversary of the important battles, but hopefully
right.
we're going to get a good majority of them
yes.
over the course of the year.
Well, Kasserine Pass actually started yesterday on Valentine's Day.
Okay. And how long? It didn't run, what, a week or so?
About a week.
Yeah. And so for, you know, again, the one easy win and then the almost immediate defeat, or at least let's
yes.
get out of here before we get defeated.
Yes.
And then what was the next major battle chronologically after Kasserine Pass?
Kasserine Pass, that's going to be an invasion of Sicily.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That took some while to
yes.
to get resupplied and develop new tactics for that
yes.
one. Of course, that one, pretty important battle there. And we've all seen, I think, the stories of the competition, I guess I can say, between George Custer or George Patton and Montgomery. So.
Yes. And that's where Eisenhower came in.
Yeah. So that one is going to be certainly a lot to talk about. But the lessons learned on that one, I think also you talked about the Signal Corps leaving a lot of their equipment behind. Command and control was always a problem.
Yes.
Getting the word out to all the units.
Well, they didn't know what to expect. Like, they were all green troops,
mm-hmm.
had never met the Germans before. And when they met the Germans, they realized they were up against a better enemy than the Vichy.
Yeah. And so, again, just reevaluating all the battle tactics. Many of these interviews you've recorded, on paper in publications that you've made, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And some of the are these the ones we're talking about? Are they available at the library?
Well, they're actually, these interviews are at the Eisenhower Library.
Okay. Okay.
I'm a volunteer for the Dwight D. Eisenhower Library.
Yeah. So people can still get the results of them. You just got to drive a little bit further.
Yes.
That library has been around now for 25 or 30 years at least?
Oh, it was established after he left office
okay.
in 1960.
Yeah, so, yeah, decades, okay.
Yes.
Well, it's a fun series of interviews that we've got coming up. Anything more from Kasserine that we've left out here? I've got a minute or so left.
It was just a learning lesson.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time this morning and for coming in. This is going to be a fun series of interviews.
Okay.
And next, let's see, you're in another couple of weeks, I think.
Yes, we're going to talk about Iwo Jima.
Yeah, okay, well, that is going to be a lot of interviews, I'm sure. You've
yes.
got a lot of people
yes.
to talk about that one.
Yes.
Joe Todd in this morning to reflect on history a little bit with us this morning, and again, the things that went on in and around the Battle of Kasserine Pass. News on the way coming up from the Oklahoma News Network in just a bit. Community Connection brought to you by Tallgrass Motors, First Baptist Church, and by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Missed consumer calls? Catch the archived week of shows at bartlesvilleradio.com. Click the on-demand.